Hello and welcome to ArcSiv LLM Daily EN. Today, we're digging into an ArcSiv submission titled AutoTool, Dynamic Tool Selection and Integration for Agentic Reasoning. Basically, it's about letting LLM-based agents decide on the fly which external tools to call and how to wire those results back into their reasoning so they don't feel brittle or hand-scripted.
Why now? Agentic systems are everywhere, and the number of APIs and internal services they could call has exploded. Static, pre-listed tools just don't keep up. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage. Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, teams have tool sprawl, email APIs, CRM, ticketing, calendars, vector search, you name it. What usually happens is we hard-code routes. If user mentions meeting, call calendar. If tickets, call Jira. It's brittle. The first time I tried this at a client, a user asked, summarize last week's support emails and create follow-ups, and the agent hit the wrong endpoint and then stalled waiting for a human. We also see friction with permissions and JSON schemas. One wrong parameter and the whole flow fails. People end up babysitting the agent, rerunning steps, which kills the promise of automation.
So put differently, today, the agent plays 20 questions with a fixed tool menu. And as soon as the ask is a bit fuzzy, it either calls the wrong thing or asks a human to rescue it. The value here is an agent that picks the right tool and integrates it without hand-holding. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
Two big drivers. First, the plumbing got better. Modern LLMs handle structured function calling and larger context windows, so you can pass tool manifests and JSON schemas reliably. We can combine intent classifiers, embeddings, and simple policies to route to the right tool with feedback from runtime signals, like error codes or empty results to retry or fall back. Second, cost and latency pressures force smarter selection. Instead of shotgun calling five tools, we pick one, check confidence, and only chain more if needed. Orchestration frameworks have matured, so it's practical to plug this in between the model and your APIs without rewriting your stack. At a technical level, the paper proposes a selection and integration layer that sits between the LLM and your catalog of tools. On every turn, it builds a candidate set of tools based on the user's intent and the current working plan, scores those candidates using tool embeddings and a lightweight intent classifier, and then calls the top choice via structured function calling with JSON schemas. It also watches runtime signals, schema validation errors, HTTP status codes, empty results, to either retry with corrected parameters, fall back to a cheaper or safer tool, or expand the chain to a second tool. Outputs get normalized through small adapters, so the LLM always receives predictable JSON that it can reason over in the next step. Compared to prior work where you give the model a static list of functions or a simple RAG tool, the novelty is that the toolset is dynamic and policy-driven. You can automatically wrap new APIs from OpenAPI specs, attach metadata like cost, latency, and permissions, and the selector will learn to prefer different tools depending on context. It's more than a router. It's an integration pattern that composes multiple tools and feeds structured results back into the agent's reasoning loop.
So in plain English, it's a smart switchboard. It reads what you're asking, picks the right app to use, sanity checks the response, and if something fails, it tries the next best option, then pastes a clean, structured result back into the conversation so the agent can keep going. Mark, what does that change day-to-day for teams actually shipping this?
In real life, it means fewer if-else trees and fewer stuck runs. Before, we hand-mapped prompts to tools and patched every edge case. With this, you register tools once, name, description, JSON schema, permissions, and you let the selector do the matching. Multi-step tasks get smoother because outputs are normalized. I'm not playing prompt Tetris to convert a calendar payload into something the model can read. We spend less time babysitting failed calls and more time deciding which tools we even want to expose and under what scopes.
Let's make it concrete. If we applied it in a simple scenario, Mark, what would it look like?
User says, summarize yesterday's customer meeting and schedule a follow-up for next week. The agent inspects the tool catalog and picks three in sequence: internal notes search, a summarizer, and the calendar API. The notes search gets the transcript from Confluence with a JSON filter. The summarizer returns bullet points and action items as structured JSON, and the calendar tool proposes a 30-minute slot with the right attendees. On screen, the user sees a short reasoning trace and a one-click confirmation for the calendar write, since that needs permission. Ops-wise, the setup was a tool manifest per service. Description, input-output schema, OAuth scopes, and guardrails like calendar.write requires confirmation. No custom routing rules. The policy handles it.
So the user just asks, the system quietly runs search, summarizes, and drafts the invite, and only asks for a quick approve on the calendar. Now a more advanced case, cross-team. Mark, paint that picture.
Data lead types, pull MRR by region for last quarter, flag anomalies, turn it into two charts, and send a report to sales leaders. The agent selects a read-only SQL tool bound to the warehouse with row-level security, then a visualization tool to produce a bar chart and a trend line, and finally, a Docs or Slides API to assemble a shareable report. It might add Slack or email at the end with the link. Governance-wise, each tool has metadata, which roles can invoke it, cost hints, expected latency, and data sensitivity so the policy won't run heavy queries in peak hours or export PII. As a developer, you register each tool, attach that metadata, and tweak the selection thresholds in staging.
Under the hood, the selection signal is a blend. There's an intent classifier over the user request and agent state, cosine similarity between the request and tool embeddings derived from their descriptions and schemas, and a small policy that weighs cost, latency, and permission level. Chaining happens opportunistically. If the SQL tool returns a valid table schema, an adapter normalizes it to a standard fact table JSON that the visualization tool expects. If SQL throws a syntax error, the policy retries with a templated query or falls back to a predefined view. If the viz tool fails to render, it degrades to a table. All calls are via function calling with strict JSON validation, and permissions are enforced before invocation. If a scope is missing, the agent either requests consent or chooses a read-only alternative. On prerequisites, the paper assumes a few things. One, every tool has a clean contract. A name, description, input-output JSON schemas, and metadata like cost, expected latency, permissions, and data sensitivity. Two, the interfaces are reliable. Consistent error codes, idempotent writes, rate limit headers, so runtime signals are meaningful. Three, the selector itself needs a bit of training or calibration. A small labeled set or synthetic pairs to map intents to tools, plus embeddings built from tool docs and schemas. And finally, there's a latency and cost footprint. You're doing extra scoring, sometimes an extra LLM turn for function selection, so you budget for that in your SLOs. Most of their evaluation is in controlled tasks rather than messy production logs.
So in everyday terms, you need tidy tool contracts, APIs that behave predictably, a handful of examples to teach the router, and you should expect a small overhead per request. Got it. Mark, from the trenches, what does the setup and org side look like to make that real?
What usually happens is we run a tool inventory sprint. We pick 10 to 20 high-value APIs, write manifests with schemas and scopes, and assign an owner per tool. We set up a simple catalog. Could be YAML in a repo or a service, so changes are reviewed like code. Monitoring-wise, we add dashboards for tool call success, latency, and cost per task. For GDPR data locality, we tag tools with regions and sensitivity so the policy won't ship EU data to a US service. The friction points are permissions and change management. Security wants scopes tight, and product teams need to update manifests when endpoints change.
Limitations per the paper. Coverage and cold start are real. New tools with sparse metadata won't route well until you add a few examples. Faithfulness isn't guaranteed. If a tool returns partial or noisy data, the agent might overtrust it. Safety boundaries are brittle if permissions are vague, so they emphasize pre-invocation checks and human confirmation for sensitive scopes. Cost latency is a trade-off. Dynamic selection reduces wasted calls but adds policy overhead. And robustness depends on good fallbacks, timeouts, retries, and choosing read-only alternatives if writes are not authorized. Future work, they note, includes learning better policies from real user logs and richer tool embeddings from code plus docs, not just descriptions.
Put simply, don't expect magic on day one. You'll need to describe tools well, set clear permission rules, plan for retries and fallbacks, and watch costs and delays. Mark, anything else teams should plan for on onboarding and operations?
Two practical things. First, discipline. Keep manifests in version control with owners and SLAs, and make a lightweight checklist. Schema validated, sample payloads, test case added. Second, ops. Decide who triages failures. We create a weekly tool health review looking at top failed tools, common schema errors, and timeouts. Also, we seed a small golden set of tasks for regression tests after every change to the selector or a tool. That keeps surprises out of production.
On results, the authors report tests on multi-step tool use benchmarks and simulated enterprise tasks. They track tool selection accuracy, end-to-end task success, latency, and cost. Against a static tool list and a simple keyword router, dynamic selection improves selection accuracy and overall task completion, with fewer invalid or empty tool calls. There's a modest latency overhead from the policy layer, partly offset by fewer retries. They also note better robustness to tool errors due to fallback strategies. But it's mostly a controlled setting, clean schemas, stable endpoints, so expect some gap versus live traffic.
Practically, fewer wrong turns and fewer try-again runs, which means less babysitting. You might see a small delay added by the selector, but you make it back by avoiding wasted calls. Mark, in production, what numbers do you actually see and how do you roll this out safely?
In real life, it's usually a bit worse than paper demos. Flaky APIs and permission edge cases bite. We plan for a soft launch, A/B test static versus dynamic on a narrow task set, and watch metrics like tool call accuracy, failure rate, average end-to-end time, and cost per task. We also log the should-have-called tool from a judge model on a sample to estimate missed routes. Expect to tune thresholds, add 5 to 10 more examples per tool, and retrain the selector monthly. Start with read-only tools and add writes only after confidence is stable.
For instrumentation, capture per step, chosen tool, candidate list and scores, schema validation outcome, HTTP status, retries, and final task outcome. Add timeouts and circuit breakers per tool, plus a back-off policy. If you can, log a compact trace so you can replay sessions for debugging. And keep a budget per task type. If policy spend or latency spikes, degrade gracefully to fewer tools or a cheaper model for summarization.
That's a good recipe. Measure everything, replay failures, and cap spend. Mark, last word from the field. Who benefits most and what conditions need to be in place?
Teams with lots of internal APIs and a steady stream of repeatable tasks, support ops, RevOps analytics, see the biggest win. You need a minimal platform mindset, owners for tools, manifests and source control, and a security model with scopes. If you only have one or two tools, static is fine. Once you pass 5 or 6 tools and multi-step tasks, dynamic selection pays off.
Bottom line, this paper turns tool use from a hard-coded list into a policy-driven layer that picks, validates, and composes tools so agents fail less and ship faster. To finish, a quick reminder, the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArxivLLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.